course, that's open the word and open our heart to hear and receive God's word today.
Good morning.
Morning, Harold.
This morning's scripture reading is going to be from Acts chapter 14. This is an account of Paul and Barnabas as they were on their missionary journey and how God worked in their lives. So chapter 14, starting in verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gate because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, humans like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all the nations go their way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the apostles had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. When they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true and faithful. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. When arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
Thank you, Harold. Well done. There are a lot of names and towns in there. Well done. And God always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray together? Father, you thank you that your Holy Spirit revealed your word to us and authored your word and breathed it into existence so that we can know you. I pray that through your word this morning, your Holy Spirit, who breathed your word into existence, lives within us. You would give us understanding and insight to hear from you today. Show us you and open our eyes that we may see you and hear you this morning through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. On our front porch, we have two plants, pots of ferns that we have there growing for the summer season and spring. And the last couple weeks, I've been fighting with this pair of birds that keeps trying to build a nest in one of the ferns. And it keeps building a nest there, and I keep taking it down and clearing it out. And it comes back, and it builds again. I keep taking it out, and it builds again. And I've been fighting with this for about 3 weeks. And I say, man, those birds sure are persistent. They don't want to give up. And they just are intent on building a nest where I don't want them to build a nest. And I think I finally won because I haven't seen them there for a couple days. But they were persistent, that not giving up, of continuing to keep going. If we could summarize this chapter that Harold just read for us, chapter 14 of Acts, we could summarize it with one word, and that's persistence. Because we see Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey after they had completed where they were in beside Antioch, and then he moved on to the town of Iconium, and from there to Lystra and Derbe. These three towns are located in the province, the Roman province at that time of what was called Galatia. That name should sound familiar to you because the book of Galatians was written to these believers that were saved on this first missionary journey. They lived in that province or that state. So it was now what is now modern day Turkey. So it's that part of the world. And as Paul and Barnabas encountered these three cities, Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, they experienced hardship. And they experienced adversity there. And whenever we are following the Lord as we had seen, we're going to come against opposition because we have an enemy that comes against us. And we had seen that from the very beginning. But yet, Paul and Barnabas continued to persevere. And they had a faith that was persistent that would not give up. And as we look at this chapter together, we're going to discover five marks of what a persistent faith looks like, as we see how Paul and Barnabas demonstrated that persistent faith in their life in the midst of the challenges that they went through. Persistent faith in what it looks like, because so we can learn from them and from the Word of God this morning how when you and I face our own challenges and come up against the opposition of the enemy, that we will endure, how we can be persistent through that and continue to live out. Because the Christian life, you've heard me say it many times before, is a marathon. We got to run that long race till we cross that finish line. And sometimes in that marathon, we can get weary. But keeping our eyes and finishing that race that is marked out for us and running with endurance and perseverance until we cross the finish line and hear him say, well done. So what is the first mark of persistent faith? Persistent faith is courageous in spite of hardship and opposition. When Paul and Barnabas get to Iconium, we find that they went into the synagogue, which was the practice. When if there was a Jewish synagogue there, they would go there first because they had a connection with the Jewish people. And so they would go into the synagogue, and they went there, and they began to preach the good news. And it said they were so effective and how they spoke in the word of God, it said in verse 1, that a great number of both Jews and Gentiles believed. And so the Iconians become the faith, and many were saved. And you would thought that would have brought joy to the city, but it didn't. What had happened, it said in verse 2, that some of the Jews there stirred up the Gentiles, and they poisoned their mind. And the unbelieving Jews there stirred up opposition against Paul and Barnabas. And they poisoned their mind against them. But what did they do? It said Paul and Barnabas continued in verse 3, spent a considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord. Even though opposition was stirred up against them and hardship and adversity, they were persistent. They didn't leave. They continued to boldly proclaim God's word because that's what they were called to do. And the opposition and the hardship didn't make them cower. The adversity that they faced didn't make them shrink back, but they continued with boldness and courage to continue to persevere in that mission that God called them to do. And when you and I faced opposition and hardship that the enemy breathes down our neck, and like a roaring lion, the scripture says he's like a roaring lion, but he's not the lion. Our Lord is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But like a lion, he can let out a roar. And when he does, it can sound fearful. And he breathes down our neck because he wants to intimidate us and he wants to make us to cower back in fear. But persistent faith is bold and courageous in spite of the opposition and hardship we endure, because we will face it. The scripture says all who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, hardship, adversity. Sometime we're not immune from it. And so they continued to persevere. But notice what happened. They continued to stay there and preach the word. And so a plot came about. And a plot among the Gentiles and the unbelieving Jews plotted and conceived together that they were going to stone Paul. And they threatened that they were going to stone Paul and Barnabas and kill them. But the plot was exposed and they found out about it. And the Lord revealed that to them. And they went to the next city and they went to Iconium. They left there and they went to the next city. Verse 7, where they, what did it say they did? They continued to preach. Despite the threats, despite the opposition, despite the hardship, they continued to boldly press on in serving God. Persistent faith, friends, is bold in the midst of adversity and hardship. And that's where God calls us to be. That's what we can learn. Secondly, consistent faith points people to Jesus and not ourselves. Because they came to the town then of Lystra. Lystra, as I read about this town, was a totally pagan city. That there was full of pagan temples. There was no Greek, there was no Jewish population in Lystra at all, which made it different. When they went to Iconium, there was a Jewish population. They went to a synagogue. In the case of Lystra, there was none. So where did Paul and Barnabas preach? They preached in the city. They preached in the street, in the open air. And so they began to tell people about Jesus in this totally pagan city that had worshipped all these different false gods and temples of the Greek and Roman mythology and Parthenon. And the temple and the city was full of them. And as Paul and Barnabas began to preach, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul, a man who was listening to him very intently. And he heard what Paul had to say, and he was listening, and he believed in his heart the gospel that Paul was sharing. But he was crippled, and he was lame. And so Paul looked at him through the Holy Spirit and said, "Rise, get up on your feet and be healed." And he was, and he was healed by his faith. And what happened in the city then? Because this was a pagan city, the people saw this miracle and they saw what Paul and Barnabas, what the Lord had enabled Paul to do. So they began to rush in the Lycaonian language, so Paul and Barnabas didn't understand what we're saying. In their Lycaonian language, they started talking to each other and they rushed into the pagan temple of Zeus and they come out with all these worship, with all these animals, and they come over to Paul and Barnabas and they start to bow down before them and want to offer them sacrifices. It said they called Barnabas Zeus, the chief god, and they called Paul Hermes because he was the chief spokesman. In Greek, it was Zeus and Hermes. In Romans, it was Jupiter and Mercury, the same two gods. But why did they respond this way? Well, they were a pagan town, and there was a legend by a poet named Ovid, who wrote that years prior to this, the gods of Zeus and Hermes came down to the city of Lystra in human form. And they were looking for someone to show them hospitality and to welcome them in. And they came to place, and they disguised themselves as being poor. And nobody would show them hospitality. And everybody rejected them. And no one wanted anything to do with them except one elderly couple whose name was Philemon and Bacchus. And they received them into their home. And when they did, Zeus and Hermes rewarded them and turned their poor home, small home, into this big temple with a gold roof. And then they got angry at everybody else and sent a flood and destroyed the rest of the people in the town. So when they saw this miracle, they thought, oh no, Zeus and Hermes have come down to us again, and we better show them kindness this time, or else it's going to happen to us again. That was their thinking and why they responded the way they did. Remember, it was a totally pagan town. So when Paul and Barnabas realized what was happening, that they began to worship them, what did Paul do? He said, no, we're just men like you. Worship the true God. And he went on to tell them who the true God was, that Jesus came to redeem us from all of these worthless idols that you're worshiping. And he shared them the truth. Persistent faith points people to Jesus and not ourselves. Not to put the praise on us. When God works through your life to touch somebody else or to bless somebody else, as the case here with what happened with Paul, when the Lord worked through his life to help heal this crippled man, Paul made sure the glory went to Jesus. And when God uses you to bless the life of someone else, persistent faith is to put that glory and to point people to him. It's all about Jesus, right? It's not about us. And that's where the praise goes, and putting the glory up to him and focusing it there. And that was Paul and Barnabas' reaction. So that's the second mark of persistent faith. The third mark of persistent faith is that it focuses on being faithful and not successful. Because look what happened. We see how fickle the crowd was. In one moment, they're ready to worship them as these gods, Jupiter and Mercury, or Zeus and Hermes. And they're ready to offer these sacrifices to them. And when Paul's preaching them, no, 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 it's Jesus. Put the glory to him. It says that they, despite even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. And they had a hard time convincing them that it was Jesus. So what did the people do? Some Jews in Antioch, from Antioch and Iconium, they just followed Paul everywhere. And that was a long trip to come back from Antioch and Iconium all the way to Lystra. They won the crowd over, and they drug Paul out of the city, and they stoned him in the outer city courts, leaving him for dead. And they thought they had killed him. For one moment, ready to praise him as a god, and then they were ready to turn on him, and they stoned him and left him for dead outside the city gates. And you would say, Paul and Barnabas' mission to Lystra was a failure. You would say, they stoned him, left him for dead. There wasn't anybody that listened to what he had to say. He couldn't persuade them not to worship the Lord, and would seem like it was a failure. But if we focus on being success instead of faithfulness, we can lose perspective. And turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 1, because his mission in Lystra was not a failure. Because in Lystra, as Paul was preaching, sharing the good news of Jesus, that it was all about him and he could turn from those worthless idols and find life, there was somebody in that crowd who was listening, and this was his name. Does that name sound familiar to you? Timothy. Timothy was from Lystra. And he happened to be hearing what Paul was saying. And 16 verse 1 says, he came to Lystra, Derbe and Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but his father was Greek. So from Timothy, he was in Lystra, and he heard the message that God had given him through Paul, and he became a believer. And we know that Timothy then became a young son in the ministry to Paul. And Paul then began to teach him and instruct him. And Timothy went on to become a pastor and leader in the church. And 1 and 2 Timothy are written to him. So Paul's ministry in Jerusalem, in a Lystra was not a failure. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 to 14, Paul refers to that incident again about Timothy being from Lystra. And did he come to know the Lord? The faith there. And sometimes we feel that we're not successful because we're not seeing results. And yet, we're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. When we stand before the Lord someday and cross that finish line, he's not going to say, "Harold, well done, good and successful servant." He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And being faithful and continuing to press on, whether we see results or not, because God does the work and he brings the results, and he brings those that come to him when in his time. Several weeks ago, there Andrew Murray, who was a well-known devotional writer, had a brother who labored all his life in an African country, and there was no visible fruit. He had spent all his missionary life in Africa, didn't see one single convert, didn't see any visible fruit whatsoever for all those years, didn't see any converts, but shortly after his death, a revival broke out there and many were converted. He had broken the hard ground by his years of faithful labor. Others saw the visible fruit. So being faithful, not necessarily being outward successful, is what God calls us to do. And to be persistent in the midst of that. There was a discouraged young pastor who once asked a pastor of 30 years how he made it so long in ministry. And the older pastor replied, he said, "You know, my dad told me, never decide to leave the ministry when you're tired or depressed. So I never left the ministry." Several weeks ago, when we had our question and answer time, a question was asked of me: what is the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges you face? And my answer to that question was discouragement, because we can get discouraged. But according to a recent article on Christianity Today, which was published in June 3rd, 2025, 53% of pastors considered leaving the ministry since 2020. Can you believe that? And that was because of COVID and all that come out of that. 53%. Yet, the percentage of pastors who leave the ministry for reasons other than retirement have remained statistically unchanged over the last decade. 1.3% in 2015, 1.5% in 2020, and 1.2% in 2025. Which amounts to one pastor in 100 who leaves a ministry every year. Why? Because it's a calling. And when God calls you, he gives you that faith to continue to persevere and continue on. And that's what God calls us to do. And that's what we see here, that it focuses on being faithful and not successful. And the fourth mark is that it does not stay down, but gets up and keeps going. A persistent faith keeps going and does not stay down. Notice what happened. Paul was taken out of the city, left for dead. They thought he was dead, and they left him there. But what does verse 20 say? But after the disciples had gathered around him, what did Paul do? He got up, he went back into the city, and the next day, him and Barnabas left for Derbe to continue to preach. Paul was down, but he was not out. He was stoned and left for dead. And most people, if they didn't have the persistent faith, would have said, "That's it. I'm done. I'm not risking my life for this anymore." But he continued to persevere. He did not stay down, but he got up and he kept going. When you and I may be beat down by the enemy, and the enemy can beat us down sometimes, but when we are beat down, persistent faith is that we don't stay down, but we get up again by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we keep pressing on and running that race. Amen? We don't give up. We don't just get discouraged. We just keep on going forward and keep on following him. Discouragement is one of the enemy's biggest weapons. And he likes to use discouragement, and he also likes to use adversity. And to use adversity to get us down, and then when we're in those times when we're down, to use discouragement to keep us there. But realize where that comes from, and to get up, and to keep going forward, and to keep pressing on. The next day, he went into the city and served there. Turn with me, when Paul says what Paul was stoned and thinking he was dead. He was left for dead there, and while he was there in the street, it's believed that he had a special experience. Where at that time, God caught him up into heaven and revealed and showed him his glory. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As Paul was writing about this to the Corinthians, beginning at verse 2. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into heaven, the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise. It's believed this may have happened when he was there stoned, left for dead. He heard inexpressible things this man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except for my weaknesses. If I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, but because I would keep speaking the truth. But verse 7, to keep me from being conceited because of these surprising great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insult and in hardship and persecution and difficulties, because when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. That's persistent faith that does not stay down, but keeps going. And Paul realized it is God gives me strength in those times. And his grace is made perfect in times of weakness. And his grace is sufficient for me no matter what I go through. And I'm going to continue to go on. Turn with me back a chapter to 11, 2 Corinthians 11. As you see the persistence of Paul, verses 23 to 28, and this is just a few of it, as we see his persistent faith in not staying down, but getting up and to keep going forward in his faith for the Lord. Picking up at verse 23, he said, are all servants of Christ, for I am in my mind to talk like this. He said, I am more, I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. Beside all of everything else, I daily face the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That was what Paul had gone through. But it was a persistent faith that enabled him to keep going even when he was down, because it was the power of the Lord at work, a faith that was strong. And dear friends, you may get down at times, but continue to press forward. He continued, because God calls us to persistence, to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, that at the end of the race, we hear him say, "Well done, faithful servant." And the fourth mark of persistent faith is persistent faith strengthens and encourages others in the faith and encourages others to keep running that race, to come along with me. And in those times when you're down and God has brought you through that, to use that to encourage someone else to continue running the race. Notice what Paul and Barnabas did. The chapter ends, verse 21 to 28, that they then went back to, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And they went back to the city where Paul was stoned. And they encouraged and strengthened the Christians there. Timothy would have been one of them. And his mother, Lois and Eunice, his grandmother, they would have been one of the ones they encouraged. But they returned back to all the cities that they had just visited on their first missionary journey where people come to faith. And they strengthened them in the faith and they encouraged them to continue on. And they told them, they said that we must go through times of hardship. We must go through times of hardship to enter the kingdom of God. And they encouraged them and strengthened their faith. So they formed them into churches and appointed elders over them. And these became known as the churches of Galatia that Paul was going to write to later. But they strengthened and encouraged them to continue to press on. That's part of why we come together and need each other as a church family. We're told not to give up or forsake meeting together, but to gather together and encourage one another. He says, all the more so the day we see, closer we see the Lord's return. So strengthen and encourage each other with the faith that you've, with what God has done for you. And use that to encourage and come alongside a brother or sister who may be down, who may be beat down or pressed down the hard adversity they're going through, and come alongside and encourage and strengthen them to continue to run the race. And it's at that time when you feel that you can't go on anymore that someone comes beside you and encourages you to continue to run, that you can finish strong and finish well. And that's what God calls us to, that life of persistent faith. And then they return from there back to Antioch, the church where they were, where we've seen in Acts chapter 13, when the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them, separate Paul and Barnabas and send them out into the work I've called you to. And it's from there we see the practice of missionaries coming back to supporting churches and to report and share what all God had done through their ministry so that the church themselves could be encouraged. And it said the church of Antioch was greatly encouraged when they heard what God had done through the mission of Paul and Barnabas, when they had shared how God was working through them, and it was encouragement to the entire body as well. So God calls us to a life of persistence and a faith that endures and is strong. So as we seek to make this personal and apply it to our life, we pray that God would open our eyes, reveal himself to us, and give us ears to hear. I pray that God has spoken to you in some way this morning. So in the bottom of the sermon outline, I have two questions for you. And this is personal to you because God is speaking to you different than he's speaking to the person next to you. And what is the key takeaway? And I want you to ask yourself, my key takeaway from today is, what is the key thing that God has said to you as we spoke on persistent faith this morning? What is the key thing he wants that grabbed hold of you this morning? Maybe it's continuing to go on when you're down. Maybe it's strengthening and encouraging others. Maybe it's being courageous in the midst of hardship. Maybe it's pointing people to Jesus. What is the key thing that God has said to you this morning? Write that down, because this is something you can get a hold of this week and begin to apply and live out in your daily life. Then the second thing is, what actions, my actions for the points for this week are. What am I going to do with what God said to me? How am I going to apply it to my life and live out and let him change me through his word this week? It's different for each one of you. Write that down, and what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You know, that's between you and God. You don't have to share it with anybody else, but that's between you and God, and then take action on what he's leading you to do. The scripture says faith without action is useless. So it's taking his word and applying it to our life. So let us run with perseverance, because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, who is the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you call us not to successfulness, but to faithfulness. And Lord, you reminded us in your word that we need to continue to press on. Even when we may be down, the enemy may be beat up on us and have us down, but we're not to stay there. You want us to get up and to keep going and to keep going forward in our faith for you. And so, Lord, in those times when we're down, give us the strength to get up when we don't feel that we can on our own, because often we can't. But we need your strength to enable us to get up so we can continue to go forward and persevere. We thank you that your word says that those who overcome and endure to the end receive the crown of life and the crown of rejoicing and the cross that finish line to hear you say, well done. And Lord, help us to point others to you, and that when you work in our lives to bless the life of somebody else, that we put the glory in your to you and break your name famous and not our own. And Father, help us in times of opposition and hardship not to shrink back into fear, but to have boldness and courage to continue to serve you faithfully in the midst of that. And Lord, help us as well to strengthen and encourage others who may themselves be down and be at that point of giving up. And when you brought us through, help us to come alongside them to strengthen and encourage others in the faith, that they too will continue to be able to keep running the race marked out for them. So thank you, Lord, for Paul and Barnabas and their faithfulness to you and their persistence to you and the gospel. In the midst of hardship, they continue to endure and are an example to us of how to follow you in that persistent faith. So thank you, Lord, for your word that continues to speak to us, that is so relevant and practical to our life. And Lord, may we run the race with diligence and perseverance until we hear you say of us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy that I provided for you. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.